commercial space. We will have conversations with each of you before coming back. But these are the kinds of things which you might we might be bringing forward. In the near term, we hope to, in the spring, come back with a resolution that would support Prosper Portland's board in adopting a portfolio approach and specific targets for projects like the post office and the ODOT blocks, as well as dedicating 25% of the returned property tax resources to provide a predictable level of support for economic development in line with Scenario A. What we hope you've heard is that we believe that with the leadership of Prosper Portland's board, with your partnership, with sound investment principles, with creative funding solutions, and by always considering who benefits, that collectively we can harness the incredible growth in our city to ensure that there's widely shared prosperity. So with that, I think we would love to hear your questions, any other questions, and any direction that you have as we move forward.
I have some comments.
Commissioner Fritz.
First of all, thank you very much for all the work done by both the board and the staff. And Commissioner Fish started talking about this when he first got housing in 2009, the tax increment finding cliff and the expectation that the revenues were going to change. So this has been coming a long while, and I've been kind of following it in the 50%, and now we're at 90%. I want us all to take a step back to look to be talking about what do we want the Economic Development Agency of the city to do, rather than how do we keep funding Prosper doing the things that you've outlined. I mean, are all the things that you're doing now things that we want to continue doing? Something that springs to mind is the cluster developments. Is that, I don't know how much you're even doing on that. There are certainly some parts of your portfolio that I'm very enthusiastic about, the support for small businesses, the neighborhood prosperity initiatives, potentially some of the new ways of doing things and helping us manage programs, properties. That's all great. Those other economic development agencies that you listed, are all of those independent agencies, or any of them independent, or are they integral parts of the city or county government?
The majority of the organizations have an arm's length relationship and tend to be the Urban Renewal Authority. There are organizations like the Planning and Economic Development Department in the City of Chicago that is an affiliate of, it's a city agency. So it's not uniform, but the majority are somewhat standalone.
And I've certainly supported it while Prosper has been mainly doing tax increment financing, that seemed entirely appropriate. If we're moving really more to a general fund model, I think we should be looking at are there efficiencies in having Prosper be a bureau of the city? Do we save on HR? Do we save on other things? Do we have then more accountability to the council for the choices we make in spending the funds? Because whether we dedicate the boomerang is still general fund.
Yes.
It's money that I, as a taxpayer for the last 31 years in Portland, thought would be going back to pay for parks maintenance and roads and, you know, all the other things that we know we've got a $1 billion list of needs for. So that's the one component of this plan that I'm most concerned about, and thinking that instead of dedicating a percentage, when we don't even know how much it's going to be at this time anyway, it would be better to have the council making allocations on, yes, we want to buy this, and no, we don't want to buy this. So those are just are my thoughts, and I'd like to have a robust discussion on that when it comes to councils. Is there another way of doing this that still keeps the value of the staff, you know, some of the programs and projects that you're talking about have been on the list for a long time, like the industrial lands and selling, getting some of those into good medium-range jobs. Those are things that I would certainly want to encourage. And then some of the other things, perhaps others would be more qualified to do it.
Thanks for that presentation. That's a lot of information to absorb, and I have, I think, too many questions to ask today. I'll make a couple comments and ask a couple questions. So what's of most interest to me in this presentation is how we're going to address that stark divide in income and assets of white versus POC households, and our commitment to developing locally owned businesses. So obviously that's a huge focus for Prosper Portland, but I know that you don't strictly work with small business. And so I'm curious, you know, some of the developments, correct me if I'm wrong, 10th and Yam Hill parking garage, that will all be local businesses?
Yes.
So is this determined on a case-by-case basis, whether you're going to let in chains, national chains, or versus local businesses?
I think that will be determined. I mean, I don't want to make a blanket statement that we will never use or work with chains. But we've had a longstanding policy that when we're doing grant investments or looking for commercial tenants, that we prioritize local businesses and have decided not to fund and make investments, at least in our storefront, for those businesses that have more than three stores. And so we do have a longstanding commitment to really prioritizing local serving businesses when we're looking at retail space.
Great. I was curious how that preference policy would work. And then the other area of interest for me is expanding ownership opportunities, because that's clearly one way to address the wealth disparity.
Yeah.
So is that kind of a serious consideration, whether it's land trusts or commercial condos or...
Yeah, so we have been, so Lisa's team has been working, this was something that's been identified for a while, and then really came to the fore when we had conversations in Northeast Portland about finding whether we had the right tools to do that. So we've been engaging with long-term property owners to see how we can amend our financial tools so that it works for people who have either businesses who would like to own their space or who have properties but not necessarily the resources to redevelop them. And so I would say we are right now piloting and haven't yet come up with a kind of scaled solution, but are looking at individual options and opportunities.
I guess my one of my big concerns with this is if rents on these properties become a more significant part of your budget.
Yeah.
How do you balance wanting to preserve affordability and expand those ownership opportunities when you're depending on the rents?
Yeah. Well, and so, so Commissioner, I think that's something that we will closely need to monitor. I think what we are trying to find, and the Gateway example is a good example of this, is where can we create opportunities for commercial space and offer it at a below market rate, but still receive some level of resources. I think traditionally we have granted resources and then not seen any return on it. I think we believe that we can still meet that objective of increasing space, doing so at a discounted rate, but recoup some portion, because they're, even if it's below market rent, there's still some rent. And so that can be helpful to our overall net operating income.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just finally, it's probably no secret that I'm a big fan of local and small businesses, and I'm not a fan of Amazon in particular.
Yes.
And I would just request that, and I realize, you know, we didn't make them a sweet offer and they're not going to be expanding in Portland right now, but moving forward, I want to make sure that we're looking at the long-term effects of catering to companies like Amazon, because while we may reap some gains in them developing properties and adding jobs, they also have a tendency to really negatively impact our local small business economy, as well as drive down wages for warehouse workers in particular. So it's not necessarily a net gain for the city. And I just want to make sure that we're considering that moving forward.
Yeah, appreciate that. Good.
I thought this was an excellent presentation and a good start. We have all reviewed the strategic plan, and I think the big question we've been asking that the board is attempting to answer here is, how do you actually finance that strategic plan, given that it's a fairly radical shift in focus and direction, one which, by the way, I strongly support. I support your efforts to address income inequality. I support your efforts to broaden economic prosperity, to include communities that have historically been left out of those conversations. And I think this is a really good start. For me, the question is really going to be the nuances between A and D. You drew a stark contrast between the two in terms of your capacity on the development side. I also want to know about B and C, and I'd like to see the relative trade-offs there. I'm mindful of the fact that you're now board members and a director of an organization at a time of unprecedented development opportunity for the city of Portland. We've got the Broadway corridor. Certainly we'll be seeing activity in the Rose Quarter in the not-too-distant future. We still have work that we're doing in partnership with Zidel. We've got the South Waterfront, potentially work with OMSI. So we actually do need a development agency that can help lead those efforts and make sure that the kinds of developments that take place in this community are developments that benefit the community. You've also got all of these economic prosperity initiatives that people sometimes forget about around small business development and entrepreneurial support. I think that's very important given the economic composition of the city and our focus on small businesses and entrepreneurial opportunities. And so I don't want to lose that. I'm also mindful of the fact that the City Council has already adopted a policy around the Build Portland program. And we laid claim to a significant portion, not all of it, but a significant portion of the tax increment financing that was coming back onto the tax rolls for infrastructure investments, roads, parks, civic infrastructure, and the like. And I will want a more nuanced understanding of how do these various scenarios impact what we've already established as a council policy with regard to infrastructure investments. But I think this is an excellent first step, and I'm really appreciative of the work that went into this. So thank you all.
Thank you.
To be continued, and you'll be bringing back some specific proposals in the spring for the council's consideration. Thank you. Any last words from your side of the table?
Just thank you for the consideration.
Thank you, Mr.
Really
Chairman. Thank you, Director. Thank you all. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Lisa, thank you. You took a very, very complex set of financial propositions and boiled them down nicely.
It'll show up with the budget as well. So
No, this is good. This is good. I panicked a little when I saw this, to be honest with you.
Did you? There's an executive summary.
I read it last night. It's actually very, very thick.
Yeah.
Good job, you guys. Nicely done. Great work. Willie, I assume you wrote the whole thing, so I know who does these things. Thanks for coming in, but Willie, I wish you wouldn't dominate the whole conversation. Now, can you let other people speak every once in a while? I'm doing great. It's good to see you. Looking good? Things good?
Yeah, things are good.
Good.
Dealing with an issue out of Nike, though.
What's going on?
They're not paying the contractors again.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, I saw
like
that. What's
91.
With that? What's with that? They're like the wealthiest company in the world.
Here's a bad thing that isn't public yet. They put 4 minority contractors out of business that couldn't carry it, couldn't carry the debt. They changed schedules, they shortened schedules.